sir. All right, James chapter 1. Lisa gets one too, if you would please. Thank you. All right. It's okay, honey. James chapter 1, begin reading in verse 22, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seemeth to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you for your Son. I thank you for your Spirit. God, all that you have done for us through Christ has made our meeting here possible, and the very salvation of our souls. Dear God, joy in living, loving and serving you. Father, we thank you and we praise you. Please fill me with your Spirit, so that I can minister the word unto your church this morning. Fill my dear wife with your Spirit, relaying the message and sign. Be with those in the nursery watching the children, Father, caring for them so others can be out here and hear the message. And thank you, Lord, fill with thy Spirit. Thank you for the word that's gone forth already in the Sunday school classes, both for the children and for the adults. Lord, we praise your name for that. Work in our hearts. I thank you for each one here. And dear God, you have something for each one of us. And you want to edify and strengthen your church. And I pray that you'd work in every heart. Pray your word would continue to go out from this place, that souls would be saved, lives would be changed. Lord, we need you this morning, and we want to worship and praise you with our lives. And Father, I pray that all that's been done thus far has been pleasing unto you, and help us to worship in spirit and in truth. And dear God, we thank you for the promise of your coming, without which, as Paul wrote, we would be of all men most miserable. But God, we know you're coming again, and we know that that's our home, to be forever with you. Those that are born again. And Father, we thank you and praise you for that. Work in our midst this morning, I pray, every work that needs to be done. And might we have yielding hearts unto you, gracious receiving hearts, as we considered last week. And, Father, help us, we pray in these things, for our good and for your glory. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I've entitled the message this morning, Doctrine is for Doers. Doctrine is for Doers. That's what God has for us here in the Word of God. Be doers of the Word. A maker, a producer, one who obeys, doing the Word. Doers of the Word and not hearers only. Hearing. That word seems to have to be an intense meaning of the word hearing, as that's all that they do. Hearing and not obeying is not going to be profitable for us. Matter of fact, what? Knowledge puffeth up, charity edifieth. If we're not learning and growing in a proportionate basis, we're going to wind up proud. And proud in our attitude, but unspiritual in our walk. That's not a good combination. And so God has a balance for us to apply these things. Doers of the Word, not hearers only. When I consider that thought, I think of Paul's missionary journey. Most of us might think of the time when he stopped by there in Athens. And Acts chapter 17, verse 21. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. So all their time was spent what? To tell and to hear. I want to take it in and just put it out, you know, to tell and to hear of some new thing. They were all about receiving, the receiving and passing on of information. Sadly, they lacked much transformation, was the problem. You see, these would never miss a revival meeting, but they seldom had one of their own. Plenty of transportation, back and forth from Bible study to Bible study and from town to town, but not much transformation. God wants us to be changed continually by the Word of God. Listening to the Word of God all the time and not applying it to our lives is kind of like bald tires in snow. Anybody know what we're talking about there? Drove many years like that. Bald tires and snow. The car struggles to reach the top of the hill. There's a lot of action, a lot of spinning, but not very much forward motion. Something to consider. Why is that in the case of the car? What's because there's a cold, hardened barrier between the tires and the road. And I would submit to you, it's probably not much different for the person. Amen. If we're learning up here and it's not getting to here, there's probably some kind of a cold, hardened barrier between the heart and the knowing that needs to be taken care of. Coldness is especially dangerous in the Christian life as we get older. You see, the more years we've lived it and we follow the Lord, the outward things kind of fall off. I haven't wanted to smoke a cigarette. I hadn't even thought of a cigarette until just now. God must have given me that illustration. I hadn't had a desire to smoke a cigarette since I can't remember when. Those outward things kind of fall off. And your challenge as you get older as a believer is right in here, isn't it? And by the way, this is the place where actually most of the work that needs to be done, if we'd be honest. And though no one else but me and God know about what's in here, and only me with His help, it's the most important thing to God. But if we're not careful growing as Christians, we can become comfortable because nobody can see where I'm at in my walk with God. Because I carry the right Bible, you know, and I wear the right clothes to church and whatever other thing that you may want to put on that list that we think would make us spiritual. But God knows. Coldness. You get those winter tires, though, and they dig into that snow, get down to the road, and they grab a hold of what that pavement, now you got some forward motion, don't you? And what we need to be sure that we do is that we're digging into the Word of God and taking hold of the road first and foremost in our life, that we're going forward. The only person I can affect in their closeness to God is me. I have to be sure that I'm drawing closer to God and growing. And the same is for you. The same illustration would apply in racing in a similar way. Those that race, they have these racing slicks. Anybody heard of those? You know, I know we've got some racing fans in here. And the tread those tires have on them. No, actually they don't. They're pretty much flat, pretty much treadless. The idea being they're made for racing on what? Dry pavement. And the less tread you have on those tires, the more rubber you got on the road. It's actually more traction. But due to the composition of them, it's actually not more traction until you get them heated up. And then when you get those tires, that's why they spin those tires, you know, before the race, they'll spin them before that race. It gets hot and it grabs the road. And they can go faster in the race. The person who learns a lot of scripture, not applying it like a car, is it can also be like that car that's just not hot. Right. That tire doesn't grab the road, needs to be heated and grip that road. See, God doesn't just want a place in our life. God wants first place in our life. We're learning that in Colossians, that in all things he might what? Have the preeminence. He wants to be first in our life. And by the way, not just the preachers, not just the deacons, not just the song leader, not just the Sunday school teachers, not just the sign language interpreter. We go on and on and on. He wants first place in every life, in every heart. He wants a heated relationship as far as that love goes. Now, Titus 2:14, he gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, what? Zealous of good works. Zealous of good works. Good works are what we want to do. Ought to be what we're seeking for in our lives to glorify God. See, for all of us, as he works in our hearts as believers, he wants every one of us not only to be a point of information for the world regarding spiritual things and truth. He also wants us to be a point of inspiration before the world. I know the truth, and I hope you can see what it's doing in my life, is what God wants. That they would not only get information when they come to you and I, they'd get what? Inspiration. And be inspired, because those who know you know the trials that you go through. And by the way, they know how you handle them. Those who know me know the trials that I face. And by the way, they know how I handle them. And our desire ought to be, God, I want not only the words that you would allow me to share with others, give them knowledge about you. And inspire them. The word is an inspire word. But that also the way that I live would inspire them. That they would see the word works. By the way, if the word doesn't work for you, how are you going to convince somebody else it's going to work for them? You know? God has it for us. It does work for us. As we are sharing the word, God wants us to make sure we are wearing the word and that he can work through us. Colossians 3:12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so do ye also. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. You know what charity is? It's a one-way love. When you read about heaven, you know, that city comes down, and out of the throne of God, there's a river that flows out of that throne. You say, where does it come from? We're not told. It just comes out from underneath the throne. It's a one-way river. Kind of a picture of God's love. See, that one-way love, worldly love, has to be reciprocal. You know, your little kid, they write those notes, I love you, do you love me? Check one. You get the little yes and no square, you know? Because if you don't love me, I ain't loving you. You know what I'm saying? That's the way the world is. But God commendeth his love toward us, what? In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God says, I will love my enemies supremely. I will look up to the sky and say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I will require no love back from them to give all of my love to them. That's not natural, folks. We can't do that. We can barely do the reciprocal thing very well, much less the one-way love. But God, that's charity. And we say, I will love my brother. I will love the world. I'll love the lost people. I'll love my enemies by God's grace. By the way, it doesn't always mean you have, you know, warm, gushy feelings about them, okay? It means you do the things that love would do. Perform the kindness that love would perform. 1 Timothy 4:12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou what? An example of the believers in word, in conversation, it's your lifestyle, in charity, that's that love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Not just the preacher, not just the deacon, not the teacher. Every one of us, God has that for us. Doers of the word. The outline will come quickly at the end and we won't spend a whole lot of time on it, but doers of the word. The other day we went to the Albany, went over and spent some time with the Landers, and they were had a musical going on over there, and Brittany had a musical piece that she had written. She wrote the all the music, that all the flutes and all the bass and the violins and cello. What else kind of, with cellos were there? All the music was there, and it was kind of just a beautiful flowing piece that she had written. It was the first time that it had been played in public. And she wrote all the music for all those pieces. It's beautiful, flowing music. Now, I was thinking of this word doers. Be doers of the word. Five times out of the six times it's used, it's translated doer in the Bible. But this one time it's translated something else. One time it's translated poet. Poet. Acts chapter 17. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said. Same word, doers. You see, God wants your life and my life to be a glorious rendition before the world. A beautiful recital, so to speak. Wow, look how God helps now. Look how the word works in their life. Why didn't they fall apart when that tragedy happened to them? You know, when they lost that job, when that sickness came. This family I know over here, when that happened to them, that it destroyed everything. Are we listening to the great conductor? And are folks seeing God working and providing and conducting in our lives? And by the way, he never stops. His peace that he's doing to you and me isn't finished until we see him face to face. He sees every bit in me of what none of you see. And he's still orchestrating there, isn't he? And wanting that to be what he wants it to be. Doers of the word. He wants our lives to be beautiful rendition of his truth and grace before all the world. We have hope. The world has no hope apart from Christ. We have the hope, brethren. We have it all. It's all in Jesus. God's provided it all. I think about David, the only man in the Bible spoken of as being a man after God's own heart. God did so much for David. So much of God's grace he poured out in David's life. And David, at one point in his life, said, "I want to build you a house, God." But God sent Nathan the prophet to him. "No, I'm not going to have you do it. I'm going to have your son Solomon do it." So you know what David did? He prepared for Solomon. Matter of fact, God gave David the plans for the temple. David wrote those down by inspiration from God for the temple. And he began to provide all those things for the temple that his son would build. And encouraging him to build, David said this to Solomon: "Moreover, there are workmen with thee in abundance, hewers and workers of stone and timber, all manner of cunning men for every manner of work. Of the gold, the silver, the brass, the iron, there's no number." Well, I like this. "Arise, therefore, and be doing, and the Lord be with thee." Arise, therefore, and be doing. I have provided all you need. Now go build a glorious temple for my glory. That sounds familiar, don't it? Christ has saved us. He has provided all that we need to be like him as much as we can here in this life. This is his temple. And God says, "I have provided all that you need, that you would be a glorious temple for me." What now? What? Now be doing. Now be doing. Become. That's what Paul was saying. He said, he pressed for the mark, for the prize, the high calling of God. He said, "If I may apprehend that for which I'm also apprehended of Christ." Christ saved me to make me like him. Paul said, "I'm going to make that my goal. He is going to make me like him when I see him." Paul says, "I'm entering the race. I want to try to get there practically about the same time. I want to get there. I want to be growing. You know, I want to be this far away when Christ comes, and now I've got so much more to do in me. Now I'm like him, you know. But he gets it done when we see him. He gets it done like that. But you know what Paul was saying? I want to give it all I got to close the gap. That's the most important thing in my life to me, Paul said, is that I become like Jesus. Inside and outside. That doing of the word. James said, be doers of the word, verse 22, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Deceiving your own selves. To reckon wrong, to miscount. To cheat by false reckoning. See, when a believer decides that zealous discipleship is for someone else, you haven't duped anybody but yourself. You have cheated yourself. What have you cheated yourself of? Well, you have life, you're born again. But you've cheated yourself out of life more abundant. If we don't pursue knowing the Lord, as so many scriptures clearly urge us to and compel us to, and the very spirit within us compels us to that. He continues, in verse 25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. What is that perfect law of liberty? What is that perfect law of liberty? I think this is what it is here in Romans 8:2, Paul writes, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. That's freedom, folks. Free from the law of sin and death. Have the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. I'm alive in Christ. You say, well, that's good, preacher. It's something maybe good, but James didn't have that writing. Wasn't written yet. Well, that's true. But Jesus did teach about that perfect law of liberty in John chapter 8, verse 34 and following. Verily I say unto you, whoso committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth. If the Son what? Therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. As long as you're sinning and thinking it's okay, you may think you're doing what you want to do, but you're a slave to that sin. That's what he's saying. But if you want to be free, Jesus, if you want to know me, I'll make you free indeed. Sin won't be your master. You'll be walking away from that cruel taskmaster. What did James just say even to lost people early in the chapter? And sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth what? Death. It can't get my soul. That's right. It can destroy everything else in your Christian life, though. But it doesn't have to. Why? Because you and I live under the perfect law of liberty. We, through the power of Christ, can depart from iniquity. Amen. Confess that thing and get it right. That perfect law of liberty, that freedom that is in Christ. The outline will go pretty quick. So number one, looking to this perfect law of liberty, this doctrine is for doing. What must we do? We must not forget what we have been saved from. James 1:23. A hearer of the word, not a doer. Like a man beholding his face in a glass, he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. He forgets. Now, I understand that James is writing to believers here. And the primary application is to believers forgetting what God's done for us. But we need to remember also what God has saved us from, don't we? By the way, when we look in the mirror of God's word and we see that sin that ought not to be there, which nature is that from? From the lost nature, from the one that we got saved from, amen? That's where it's from. So the application is still there. Remembering what we've been saved from. See, if I look in the mirror and of God's word and I've not been honest with somebody, God reminds me that lying was a part of my past and ought not to be a part of my present. You see? And whatever it might be, being jealous, being greedy, being unkind, whatever it might be. Forgetting. We must not forget what we've been saved from. Whatever you've been saved from, we've been saved from the penalty of sin. Paul expounded on this. For whom he did foreknow, Romans 8:29, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. That's what predestination is all about. Has nothing to do with someone being predestined to be saved. Has everything to do with the saved being predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. You know what that means? I'm missing hell. If I'm getting conformed to the image of Christ, no matter what, guess what I miss? Hell. And why is that? Because of what Jesus did. Because of what he saved me from. Saved me from hell. We're freed from subjection to petty rules and ordinances. Galatians 5:1, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not again entangled with the yoke of bondage. And in the context there, he's talking about the law. You see, we don't get saved by a certain amount of law keeping. Nor are we spiritual by a certain amount of law keeping. See, because the law only deals with outward stuff. You may never miss a single church service all year long. And you may not have been right with God at every one of those services. You may have come so that people could see you never miss a service all year long. And guess what? That just blew it all before God, didn't it? You got your reward because everybody's saying, wow, they never missed a service all year long. They're great. They're, yeah. You see, God looks on the inside, doesn't he? Outward stuff. That righteousness, the holiness comes from within, serving God, living for God because we love him and we love others. We learned that in Colossians 2:20. Wherefore, if you were dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not. Well, I'm spiritual because I have my hair cut a certain way. No, you're not. You can have your hair cut a certain way and be absolutely out of God's will. Amen. See, God sees all those things. And he knows what real spirituality is, doesn't he? We discussed the definition. What I believe the definition of holiness is, it's when you and I do what's right by the Holy Spirit of God because we love God. That's what true holiness is. Anything short of that, we may have still done right, but it wasn't true holiness.
Right.
See? True holiness is always God doing it through us with the right motive, with the right motives, and with his power. We're freed from the power of sin, Romans 6:14. Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. God says, you are not the devil's prisoner anymore. You are not sin's prisoner anymore. You can say no. My son, if sinners entice thee, what? Consent thou not, the scripture says. And folks, you and I can say no with the Holy Spirit in our hearts, freed from that power of sin. We must not forget what we've been saved from. Looking into that mirror, sometimes it's not so pretty. If any man look, hear the word, do it, he's like a man beholding his face in a natural glass. He beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. That's generic. It could be woman too. I couldn't find a picture of I tried to find a picture of a guy with messy hair, and it looked like that's the way they wanted it to be. You know, that's the way they start. And unfortunately, that's the way it is a lot of times today. But you know, we look at that and we laugh, and it's a funny thing for something like that. But folks, being disheveled spiritually, we're not going to look back on that as a funny thing, are we? We're not going to look back on that as a funny thing. Getting things right with God. Must remember what we have. We must not forget what we've been saved from. And then, secondly, we must not forget what we have been saved for. Been saved for. James 1:25, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a what? Doer of the work. See, if you look into the perfect law of liberty, you're going to find out you got saved from being the devil's servant so you could be God's servant. That's why you got saved. He'll make you a child, but you're going to have a master. It's going to be God or sin. And there's a work to do. According to this, if you look in the perfect law of liberty, there must be a work to do, because he says he's a doer of the work. God calls us to that. He calls us to that. Galatians 5:13, brethren, ye have been called into liberty, only not use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but what? By love serve one another. Be a doer of that work. That's the work in this perfect law of liberty. Serving one another. Didn't Jesus come? I'm among you as what? He that serveth, he that ministereth. Be a doer, remembering what we're saved for. Then thirdly, finally, we must not forget what we have been saved to bring forth. What have we, by the grace of God, been saved to bring forth? And anyone who seemed to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but see with his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Gracious words. Gracious words. James later on will say the tongue can no man tame. And that idea has the idea of actually killing and conquering. Like you might kill a beast that would try to kill you and just done away with. We can't tame it in that sense. See, we're never done away with the tongue. It has to be controlled a day at a time. Like I said, there's sins that I used to do that I can't even think of right now. You know why? Because in a sense, it's been tamed. I mentioned about the smoking. Other things. But you know, I don't fight with that when I get up every morning. Rarely think about it. But that's not true about what? About this thing right here. The tongue. It's got to be watched every day. Because you know what I find out? It wants to say things it ought not to say. And it doesn't want to say things it should say. And by the way, those are both wrong. Amen. And that's why we have to watch that thing. Gracious words. Let your speech be always with grace. Seasoned with salt. You may not answer every man. Colossians 4:6. What else are we called to? We must not forget. What we've been saved to bring forth also is good works. We are to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. Ministering to others And not just those that need a little help, those that are in most dire straits. That's what it's saying there. Even to the point of, because obviously in Bible days, the fatherless and widows had no way of caring for themselves. They were the most desperate. So what James is saying there, he's not saying do only this. You know, if you have true religion, you'll just spend all your time with the fatherless widows. No, he says you will go as far as even helping them all that you can in the most desperate situation, while you're helping in every other area that God provides for you, enables you to, and directs you to. You and I is what he's saying there. Godly works, good works. Good works. We're called to gracious words. We're called to good works. And finally, we are called to a godly walk and to keep himself unspotted from the world, without spot, irreproachable, free from vice, unsullied. And here's this idea of personal sanctification, walking with the Lord, that my heart's right with God, that your heart's right with God, that we're serving him. Brethren, if our heart condemn us, what? God's greater than our heart, amen. It's hard for a Christian to continue in sin because God loves him. He convicts him by his spirit, doesn't he? Someone has said that sin will keep you from this Bible, and this Bible will keep you from sin. When you have our life saturated with the Word of God, we'll find out there's not room for both the Scripture and that sin that we want to hold on to. Walking, drawing close, ever closer to God. And I like what the verse says. He says, in verse 25, "So looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." This is not for salvation. He's talking to save people. He's saying, if you will be a doer of this by the grace of God, you will be blessed in this doing. It's really the reward itself. I love that word blessed. 44 times it's translated just that in the Bible. Blessed. But you know what else is translated? Happy. Happy. You find it when Paul was giving some spiritual direction to young ladies who weren't married, and they were asking, is it better to marry or not, and Paul gave them an answer according to the present distress. He says, well, for right now, this present distress was the word he used. The best thing is they'd be better off, these young ladies, if they didn't marry, is what he said. In the present distress. I don't think that Paul was forever and always saying, it's always better. In the very scripture, he wasn't saying that. He said, for now, it's better that they don't. He says, but if they marry, they haven't sinned. But then you know what he said? But they'll be what? Happier, this word right here, if they so abide as I've told them, and I believe I have the Spirit. In that present distress for them at that time, he says, you haven't sinned if you do, but you'll be happier. Happier. You know, sometimes we look at the will of God as believers, and we're afraid to follow it. Why? We don't think we'll be as happy. My Bible says, if you do these things, if you become a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed.
you'll be happy in your doing.
What is God saying? Well, the people that don't, they'll be happy too. But hey, the man that does it, he'll be happy and we'll all be happy. That's not what he's saying. You see, what God is saying there, transversely, is this. The man who does this will be happy in his deed, and the one who doesn't what? Won't be happy. You know why we don't do the will of God sometimes, that we choose our own way or the easier way or some sin? Because we think we'll be happier. Oh, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. That's it. That makes me happy. And if I can do that, you know, and still watch things I ought not to watch on TV and go places I ought not to go and say things I ought not to say once in a while that I want to do, then I can have the most best worlds because I can't lose my salvation, so I'll be happier. You are deceiving yourself. It won't happen. It won't happen. The happiest thing for you and me is to be those who what? Worship God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. God said it. That's it. We can take that by faith or not. Well, I'll just be the nominal Christian. I'll slide by and I don't have to win souls. I don't have to, you know, talk about Jesus and speak up. Well, go ahead. But you're cheating yourself. Remember? You deceive yourself. You're cheating yourself out of the abundant life. And though there'll still be happiness in your life, there's always reason for a born-again person to be happy. But according to God's word, you won't be as happy as you could be. You see. Because that fullness of joy, you know, is for those that walk with Him. We sing that song with the kids and I'm done. Happiness is to know the Savior, living a life within His favor, having a change in my behavior. Happiness is the Lord. Happiness is a new creation, Jesus and me in close relation, having a part in His salvation. Happiness is the Lord. We sing, real joy is mine, no matter if the teardrops fall. I've found the secret. What's Jesus in my heart? But that happiness, that real joy, comes when we let Him be the Lord of our life and we follow Him. And that's when we experience not only the life, I'm come that they might have life. Thank you, Lord. I'm born again. And that they might have it more abundantly. Don't miss it. Don't cheat yourself out of it. Don't let the devil fool you. He's a liar. And the happiest thing for us is giving ourselves to God's will, letting Him lead us in our lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your grace and goodness to us, God. You want us to be doers of the word. Your love is unfathomable, unexplainable. God, your faithfulness is, as You've said in this very book, as the stars in their courses, God, and the sun rising and setting daily. And what You've said is true, God. You said, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Father, there are some hard things in the Christian life. But there's some joy that we'll experience as You help us through those things that we'd miss if we weren't Your disciples and following You. Father, please help us in this thing of looking into the perfect law of liberty, not forgetting what we've been saved from, not forgetting what we've been saved for, and what You want to bring forth in our lives for our good and for Your glory. Father, help us to be not only a point of information for those around us, but also a point of inspiration, God, because we know You, and that might show through us. Your blessed Son, might be seen through us by the power of your Spirit, according to the holiness and truth of your word. Father, we pray, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.